You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of Seminary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Our phone number 312-255-8408 on this beautiful Friday morning in Chicago. Should have been with us today, Wayne Majars, Vice President and Chief of Staff of Loyola University Chicago. But Wayne is unable to join us this morning. But I do want to wish Wayne a very blessed and happy 49th birthday. I have a feeling, Michael and Jim, that Wayne avoided being in studio because what I was going to do to him for his 49th birthday by way of having a group song for him. But Wayne, I know you're listening, and no, it's too early for that, Michael. So Wayne, if you're listening, a very blessed and happy birthday, and many, many more. We have a tremendous program lined up today. We have two topics. The first topic will be dealing with Catholic social teaching, and it deals with Justice Day. I'm going to read this paragraph before introducing our in-studio guests, and that is, join us for the 5th Annual Justice Day Conference sponsored by the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, CCHD. Gain a better understanding of the economic crisis and dialogue on ways forward as a faith community within the context of Catholic social teaching. Keynote speakers, Professor Mark Hayford, Chair of the Department of Economics at Loyola University of Chicago, and Dr. James Burke, Associate Professor of Theology at Lewis University and a secular Franciscan. And with us in studio, we have Elena Segura, who heads up the Catholic Campaign for Immigration Reform and the Catholic Campaign for Human Development for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Elena, welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you so much, Father Greg. It's always a pleasure to be here and to see you after a few months, I think.
It's been about November for the actual collection for the CCHD. Right. And we have with us again in studio from either last year or 2 years ago, we have Bob Moran, Chair of the CCHD Education Committee and one of the organizers of Justice Day, which will happen tomorrow, also a member of Incarnation Parish on the South Side. Bob, welcome to Catholic Community Faith. Good to have you back.
Thank you.
And born and raised in Cleveland. That's right. Former Cleveland Brown fan. Elena, as I mentioned, this is the 5th Annual Justice Day Conference sponsored by the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. How did it begin in terms of who organized it? Whose idea was the whole thing 5 years ago?
Oh, okay.
Was it your idea?
Oh, no. I don't know. It was a team effort, probably. Probably came from me, too. But it was Bill Purcell, who was the director of the Office of Peace and Justice, where we had a great team. Bill used to work at a Catholic Campaign for Human Development national office. He was the education director. But basically, the mission of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development is to support, to working in collaboration with organizations who are working in systemic change, structural change, but also to educate the Catholic community in our call to be in solidarity with the poor. This second part of our mission, it's not just the second, being it's so important too, and that one way how we can implement this mission to create awareness, to be in solidarity with the poor, to be part of this journey. We came 5 years ago with the idea, why don't I was visiting parishes and I'm realizing that some parishes had some peace and justice social ministry or organized groups. Some of them they didn't, but we didn't have a archdiocesan convening a space where all these groups could be together and also invite others to come and reflect in our mission to work for justice.
I think you've really said something very important. That is two parts. One is we're dealing with social justice. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with systemic change, mm-hmm. and that is so tough. For example, like, distributive justice is the type in which we ask to give money for the poor, clothing, food for the poor, so you can see it, feel it, touch it, collect it. And yet that helps tremendously. But when dealing with social justice, one of the areas is called systemic change.
Exactly.
To get at the root cause. Mm-hmm. And another very important thing you said, Elena, the need for education, mm-hmm. that we need to be in solidarity with the poor, and we need to learn, because you know, we say, oh, the poor will always be with us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a nice phrase to say. I realize that, but we need to go beyond that and say it doesn't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be that way.
Right, and it really is, how could we walk together with our brothers and sisters who are the image of God, who are our brothers and sisters? How could we work together to bring justice to communities that they are living in an unjust situation?
So I always say, Lynn, the haves of this world, people that have, need to reach out to the have-nots of this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who's going to be their voice? And Bob Moran, one of the organizers of the Justice Day and the chair of the CCHD Education Committee. Now, how did you get involved in this whole thing? You missed a meeting or something? They made you chair?
I got involved in peace and justice work, you know, hundreds of years ago. You know, just the kind of person who I am. You know, there are people who are interested in. Well, you know, it's the gospel message. You know,
mm-hmm.
what do you do to the least of my brothers? You do to me. And then came to the first Justice Day and was very interested and offered my help. And because of my background, it turns out that I can run committees. So
it's just to give you in a second, like how God brings people. We have around 60-70 volunteers in our committees for the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, and we have several professionals, and Bob is one of them. His expertise, he retired, and as soon as he retired, I think this was his job. So he is the full time. He runs the whole thing. So I'm just.
Now, let me ask you this, Elena. When you talk about the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, mm-hmm. and let's just focus there for a minute. I know this is not November and the time for the collection, but just let people know, what is the Catholic Campaign for Human Development? We've all heard it, but just to refresh people, what is CCHD?
The mission of the Catholic Campaign for Human Development is to attack the root causes of poverty. It's really to go to see what are things happening. Or we have a lot of issues, you know, when you talk about injustices. What's causing that? So the root cause, the Catholic Campaign for Human Development mission is to work in that specific area. How do we do this? We do this by supporting organizations who work in partnership, who are receiving funding from the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. So we do have this one-year collection. It's always the weekend before Thanksgiving. We receive this collection, and we allocate funds to organizations who are working in systemic change and justice work.
See, I think that is important. That's just not just giving money to a group to work with the poor, but gathering the money for systemic change.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know offhand, how much was gathered last November for the last collection?
It's over 800,000. It's over 800,000. We're still receiving. We just got yesterday a couple checks, so we're really slow. But
despite the tough economy last fall into now, of course, you raised over 800,000 and still going up. We're going to take a break here on mm-hmm. Catholic Community Faith, and I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of Seminary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Our first half-hour topic is Catholic Social Teaching with Elena Segura and Bob Moran. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
Men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, 312-255-8408. Time is 9:10 on this beautiful Friday morning in Chicago, and Wayne Madjars on his birthday is not co-hosting this morning, and he said he didn't want to be with me this morning for radio, and I can't change his mind, but it's his birthday, so I'm giving him a hard time today. We have with us in studio Elena Segura, who heads up the Catholic Campaign for Immigration Reform and the Catholic Campaign for Human Development for the Archdiocese of Chicago. And with us also in studio, Bob Moran, chair of the CCHD Education Committee and one of the organizers of Justice Day, which we'll get specifics before we close the half-hour segment, which happens to be tomorrow. And with us by phone, we have Dr. James Burke, Assistant Professor, Theology Department, Lewis University. And good morning, Dr. James Burke.
Good morning to you, Father Greg, and to Elena and Bob.
And welcome very much, and thank you for being on the program. And you are one of the keynote speakers tomorrow, and your topic is the U.S. economy and Catholic social teaching. Am I right?
Yes, yes. And
wow.
I'm very excited because it's such an important topic.
And the thing is now, without giving your entire talk, Jim, what is the thrust of your talk? First of all, anybody in this country knows that since last fall, the economy has gone into the pits, and all you hear about are people out of work, losing jobs, 401ks that have gone to pot, and, you know, so what's the thrust of your talking in light of Catholic social teaching?
Well, I am really just trying to do two things. I am going to look at, just very briefly, the example of a Catholic single mom who was inspired by Catholic social teaching in the Great Depression to make what Pope Benedict XVI called us to in the World Day of Peace message, January 1st, creative solidarity. And this was Dorothy Day.
Mm-hmm.
And co-founder of the Catholic Worker Movement. And then the second thing I was going to try to do is I really had a sense from Bob and Elena and that all of us are looking for a way forward as Catholics. Mm-hmm. And so I want to kind of raise the possibility of four or five questions that would get discussion going about what Catholic social teaching is suggesting in action to not only revive the economy, but as Pope Benedict suggested, to actually restructure it, especially for the poor and for its impact on the earth.
You know, you used an interesting word, Dr. Burke, and that is the word forward. A gentleman in my parish, his name is Jamie Toohey, wonderful man, great family. I was giving a talk on giving more to the parish. And I talked about, you know, giving back for all the gifts that God has given us and to now, in a sense, give back. And he had a great line. He says, it's not only about giving back, it's also about giving forward. Mm-hmm. And I'd never heard that before.
Terrific insight, isn't it?
Yes, but not so much. You know, giving back is important. He said we also are giving forward. And I always remembered what Jamie said because it just – he's right.
Mm-hmm.
He is really right. And, you know, maybe for – you know, Elena?
Yeah, just wanna, Jim, could you just, I know we many times we assume that everybody knows what's Catholic social teaching. And just for it would be very helpful if you can just give us in a minute, what's Catholic social teaching? Why we have to reflect and make a connection between the economic crisis? Is there a connection, economic crisis, with Catholic social teaching? Just, you know, what is that? Could you help us with just say what's Catholic social teaching?
Sure. It's a body of reflection that the Catholic community has carried on in each generation that propels us from our baptism and our Eucharistic centers into the world to really serve the least among us. And so each generation has reflected on it differently. We're the beneficiaries of 100 years since 1891 of concerted modern Catholic social teaching.
Now, Jim, let our listeners know what happened in 1891.
Well, Pope Leo XIII, seeing how workers were being oppressed in the Industrial Revolution and springing again from the gospel, tried to do social analysis and suggest what are some universal principles. And so, you know, he talked about the right of a living wage, the right to unionize, the importance of everyone in the Christian community recognizing that there is a right to private property, but that it's not an absolute right. That it's the criteria, again, is how does our wealth serve the least among us?
And see, I think you really raise an important topic. You know, how does our wealth serve the poor? Because there's such a dichotomy between the rich and the poor, and the gap is getting greater. And we have an obligation as Catholic Christians to serve the poor, reach out to the poor. But as you were talking about, Elena, and maybe Jim or Bob can jump in on this, but again, the key is that systemic change. And that is so elusive and hard to get at, because the one thing I don't like when people say to me, well, it's always been done that way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I'm the first one to say, well, is there a way of looking at it different? And Bob, you maybe say something about that when people say to you, well, it's always been done that way. And I'm assuming you're saying it doesn't have to be that way.
Oh, yes, it doesn't have to be that way. And if you just take a breath and think about it, slavery existed for a long time. You know, it didn't have to be that way. Many other examples that you can think of. And what I do is I don't use the word systemic. I use the word policy, because that's more concrete. And then you can talk about, as Dr. Burke said in the encyclical, the Pope, talked about living wage.
Rerum novarum.
That's right. We can work for a policy change in this country that's called minimum wage. And we got a little bit done last year, but there's a lot more that can be done in terms of policy that would bring the poor closer to reasonable living standards.
The question I would have for you, Jim, when you have this topic tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, the U.S. economy and Catholic social teaching. In light of our economic situation mm-hmm. today, here it is, end of May 2009, how would your talk tomorrow have been different if you were giving the talk 3-4 years ago mm-hmm. in light of our present economy?
Well, I think that we're coming, we're right on the threshold of Pentecost. And for me, this Lent, Easter time, the sense of darkness in the economy and the way it's oppressing our family and friends and especially the poor. It's estimated that the work on the Millennium Development Goals have been set back 7 years.
Wow.
There are about 4 billion people in the world living in poverty, including 37 million in our own country. So Pope Benedict said in the World Day of Peace message that everyone needs to feel a sense of personal outrage with these injustices, but that we and the violation of human rights that are involved. Mm-hmm. But as Dorothy Day said, and as Benedict himself has said, we need to be announcers. We need to actually not denounce the... yes, we have to recognize the injustice, but we have to do what the Catholic Campaign for Human Development does so beautifully, and that is to take action to actually accompany the poor to assure sustainable and equitable development.
We're going to have to bring this segment to a close. I would like to thank in a special way Dr. James Burke, Assistant Professor, Theology Department, Lewis University, who will speak tomorrow on the U.S. economy and Catholic social teaching. Jim, thank you very much for being a guest here on Catholic Community Faith. We're going to go to a break. We'll be back right after a minute.
Peace and all good to you.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Catholic Charities is providing community health fairs with free medical services to residents of Chicago and the suburbs. Our next fair is scheduled for Saturday, May 30th at St. Anne's in Hazelcrest, 16801 Dixie Highway. The health fairs are open to the public and offer various medical screenings, dental exams, immunizations, and general physicals for adults and children. Local social service providers will be in attendance, offering a one-stop shop approach for families in need of assistance. Volunteers are needed to do a variety of tasks at the fairs, including helping to register participants and guide them from station to station. Please call 312-655-7298 for more information. That's 312-655-7298. We hope you take advantage of our Catholic Charities Community Health Fairs.
And welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. I'm Father Greg Sack with Time in Chicago on this beautiful Friday morning, 9:23. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Elena, before we introduce Dr. Mark Hayford for the last segment, is give us some of the details regarding Justice Day 2009. When is it, where is it, cost, and maybe a phone number?
Yes, Justice Day 2009. The topic is today's economy through the lens of Catholic social teaching. It's tomorrow, May 30th, from 8:30 to 3 p.m., and it is at Cristo Rey Jesuit High School, which is located in 1852 West 22nd Place in Chicago.
And what is the cost?
It's $10 for lunch, all meals included. It's $10. So mm-hmm. we want to invite people to come and reflect on the crisis of economic crisis and Catholic social teaching.
And what about a phone number to call you to learn more about it?
The phone number is 312-534-3892.
That number once again.
312-534-3892.
Or what about a web page?
I think the phone would be the best way to connect.
Okay, thank you very much for that information, Elena. We'll go back to our next guest, Dr. Mark Hayford, professor and chair of the economics department, Loyola University, Chicago, who will be one of the speakers tomorrow. And his topic is how the U.S. economy works, capitalism, and how it works in the U.S. Dr. Mark Hayford, welcome to Catholic Community Faith.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, and Mark, maybe in a nutshell, present your topic for tomorrow. I mean, it's one of those topics. You could be a keynote speaker all day.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, and in my 30 minutes, I'm going to talk about sort of three big questions in macroeconomics. What determines economic growth? Usually, the economy grows, but as we all know, there's interruptions that we call recessions. So I'll talk about recessions in general and the current recession in particular. And then I'll also talk about what's been happening with the distribution of real income of families over time. So we've had growth in the economy, but it hasn't been all income groups haven't shared equally in the economic growth.
Maybe for a minute, Mark, is speak about the third thing you just mentioned about the distribution among U.S. families. Just say something about that.
Well, since roughly 30 years ago. Well, first of all, the economy is grown since in World War II, roughly, in terms of per capita income, about threefold in terms of purchasing power of income. But a lot of that in the last 30 years has gone to the upper income groups. So, for example, the households that are in the lowest 20 percentile of the income distribution have had their real incomes basically remain more or less unchanged since about 1970. And as you go up in income distribution, you get more growth. But the bottom 40% has been not much growth at all.
So
in real income of families.
You know, I just think that back. I remember in 1969, so I was 16 years old, got my first job at 7-Eleven in Park Ridge. You know, ran the store and would uh-huh. load the shelves. And I remember, you know, a gallon of milk was 89 cents. Plus 5 cents tax and 15 cents on the bottle for return. Cigarettes were 42 cents at 7-Eleven in 1969.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not a smoker, and I look at the price of cigarettes today, of milk, of anything, I realize people are earning more. In fact, I was making $1 an hour and got a raise to $1.25, and I was 16 years old, and I was delighted
right.
to make $1.25 an hour. And
so you're making and what was milk? You said milk was
89 cents a gallon.
89 cents. So
89 cents.
So now you can probably buy milk for, I guess, depending where you buy it. But if you bought it at Walgreens, maybe you could get it for $3, something
yeah.
like that.
Mm-hmm. And that's the money.
And a cigarette is about, as Michael says, about 42 cents per cigarette.
Yeah.
Versus a pack. And so you look at the economy, and there's without a doubt, and this would be for Elaine and for Bob to talk about. You know, people today are truly scared.
Oh,
you know, many, many people with loss of job. My brother has a great line. He says, when a neighbor loses a job, we call it a recession. When I lose my job, we call it a depression.
Right.
There's an interesting play on words.
Yeah. It hits home. When it hits home to you, it's more definitely more salient,
when
more
it hits,
real.
Exactly. When it hits home to you. And mm-hmm. the thing is, now, for example, what else do you plan to speak in that half hour? You have the three, you know, segments. And or maybe as a professor over at the Loyola University of Chicago right down the street here, is what are some of the commonly most asked questions regarding our economy that are hit with you every day? Like, when is the whole thing going to come to an end in terms of bottom out?
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, certainly our students are interested in you know, what their job prospects are going to be. So certainly our seniors this year were concerned about the overall state of the economy and the job market.
In the grassroots community, I'm talking because Catholic Campaign for Human Development funds organizations who are working with the poor. One of the major things, of course, in addition of unemployment, it's one big thing, especially in the minority groups, undocumented, you know, just immigrants in general, minorities, but also foreclosures is a big thing. It's a huge topic there.
About losing your home. Mm-hmm. About losing your home. And how do you then connect, Dr. Hayford, with the whole topic you're talking about in Catholic social teaching?
Well, you know, certainly the overall state of the economy is important for you know, for everyone. When the economy grows, everyone tends to do better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Certainly that's true in terms of employment. So in the lower income groups tend to get hit harder when the economy takes a downturn, and unemployment rates are always higher among people without high school educations. And as you go up in education attainment, the unemployment rate goes down. So
So certainly the lower income families are hurt harder when the economy goes into a downturn.
Let me ask you this, Mark. I love your topic, how the U.S. economy works, capitalism, and how it works in the U.S. What is one of the biggest myths regarding how our U.S. economy works? I mean, is there any myth that you'd like to clear up for our listeners regarding the economy? Because you're a professor, and you know, when it comes to the Catholic Church, there are sometimes misgivings or myths that are not true. Is there anything that just pops out at you regarding our economy, a myth that you could like to clear up on the air? That is not true, that when you say this to a student, you know, that is not true. And the person will say to you, well, that's how I was taught or thought about the economy. And you're saying, no, that's a myth. That is not true.
Well, I guess this idea that, by cutting taxes, you could always raise more revenue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think the big disconnect between that people have between taxes and government spending, that somehow those are not, people don't think of those as being related to each other for some reason. For example, when we had the people protesting against high taxes, right around April 15th.
Right around tax day.
I think people should realize that we have government services, and if we value them, we have to pay for them. And just to focus on taxes as being an evil thing that taxes should be cut is not looking at the whole picture.
You could make a whole topic on that alone. Make that
a
keynote trick. We need to bring this segment to a close. I want to thank in a very special way by phone Dr. Mark Hayford, professor and chair of the economics department, Loyola University, Chicago, and he'll speak on Justice Day 2009 tomorrow, and Mark's topic will be how the U.S. economy works, capitalism, and how it works in the U.S. I also want to thank this first half hour in-studio guest, Elena Segura, who heads up the Catholic Campaign for Immigration Reform and the Catholic Campaign for Human Development for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and also want to thank Bob Moran, the chair of the CCHD Education Committee, and one of the organizers for Justice Day, which will take place tomorrow. And a phone number, again, Elena, for people
it's
to call?
312-534-3892. 312-534-3892.
Thank you very much, Bob, Elena, and Mark, for joining us this first half hour.
Thank you.
Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break.
Thank you.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
This is Cardinal Francis George with a personal invitation to join my internet-based network. Beginning in Holy Week, it will be my pleasure to send you short reflections to help you on your spiritual journey. You can sign up by going to our website at www.archchicago.org. All we need is your email address. That's www.archchicago.org. Thanks for joining the Cardinals Network as we use the internet to help spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to Catholic Community Faith. And I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side. Time coming up on 9:35 in the morning in Chicago on this gorgeous, at least first part of the day. They're talking rain later on. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. We're going to change gears and topic here. The second half hour, we'll be dealing with the Summer Scripture Program at Mundelein Seminary with this year's theme, The Bible and Social Justice. With us in studio, haven't had enough coffee yet. In studio, we have Megan Deichel, Associate Director, Ongoing Formation at Mundelein Seminary. Megan, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you, Father Greg.
What year did you join the formation faculty or ongoing formation at Mundelein?
Well, I started with Father Zielinski in August of last summer, but I have been at Mundelein Seminary for 2 years. I worked for Graziano in the TIGS program for
with
2 years.
With Graziano Marcheschi.
Oh, yeah.
with Graz, who is normally a co-host here, either
that's
Graz
right.
or Wayne Madjars.
That's
and,
right.
So know Graz very well. And we have with us also on phone a great priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, ordained in 1978, a year before me, Father Marty Zielinski, Vice President of Ongoing Formation at the seminary, and has helped organize the Summer Scripture Seminar of the last few years. Marty, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Well, thank you, Greg. It's nice to be on with you again. I know I have had a couple of opportunities over the last few years to be on your program and discuss some of the topics related to the history of the church and to things in the Archdiocese. So I'm very pleased that you gave us some time this
morning. Marty, remember our days at Niles College Seminary playing basketball and football and softball?
Greg, I'm too old to remember all that ancient history.
I'll tell people right now, my back goes out more than I do today compared to our days of playing all the sports.
That,
and you were
yeah.
you were a tough athlete. You were a competitor. And
yeah, no talent, just determination.
but all heart. Well, Marty, first of all, give us the history sure. of the Summer Scripture Program at Mundelein. When was its first year?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I don't actually remember the first year because there are a couple of things that have taken place in its history. First of all, the Summer Scripture has been held on the campus for well over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But only recently, starting with 2006, was the seminary faculty directly involved in some of the planning and work of the Summer Scripture. So Father James McElhone, who's the chair of our Department of Biblical Proclamation and Exegesis, is one of the key people that helped develop the program, along with our provost, Father Tom Bema, and then with me, with Ongoing Formation. So, I mean, to go back prior to when seminary had the direct hand in it, you know, my sense is certainly you could go back to the time of Cardinal Meyer, you know, around the mm-hmm. time of the council. He helped encourage a number of programs, both held at Loyola University for a while and then out at the Glen Mary Seminary in Glen Ellyn. For a number of years,
mm-hmm.
to encourage the priests to update themselves in some of the more recent scholarship of Scripture. And I think then out of that, you know, that was an audience primarily for priests, but they, after the council and starting in the 1970s, began to expand that and hold it up here at the seminary. It has a over its history, gone, it's sometimes been a two-week program. Currently, it's a one-week program. We'll be starting on Sunday evening, June 21st. And really, when you think about, you know, the last 30 years, you know, we've had probably all the major names in American biblical scholarship involved in this program.
Yeah, the thing is, whenever I receive the brochure
yeah.
year in and year out,
yeah.
talk about a... You know, a
star I mean, it's really
lineup.
A who's who of American biblical
oh, yeah,
scholars.
No
and so, but more recently, in the years that we've been doing it, since about 2006, we've had a number of, I think, very good themes. We looked at Bible and evangelization in 2006. We had Mary Dealey from the Shield Center Northwestern, one of our speakers, Bruce Molina from Creighton. 2007, we looked at the issue of Bible and ethics. We had John Heil from the Catholic University of America, James Keating from the Institute of Priestly Formation at Creighton.
I mean, among Catholic circles, these are big names.
Yeah.
The speakers. Maybe I can ask Megan a question. How is the topic chosen, the Bible and social justice? I mean, I think it's a tremendous topic. First of all, each one of those could be a separate seminar. The Bible or social justice could be topics among themselves. But right. The Bible and social justice, how has that theme landed for this year, Megan?
They do this quite far in advance, and it was before I came here, so I can't speak too much. And Father McElhone, I think, had a lot to do with that. I do know that we are in the process of a five-year doing the program and coinciding with a document from Vatican II. And this year the document is Gaudium et Spes. So
one of the key documents.
One of the
Vatican
key documents,
II.
And this is in preparation, you know, for the 50th anniversary of Vatican II. So I think there was some look at what kind of topics can we do and what documents should we look at to come up with the themes. I believe that was incorporated in the decision making.
You're making you raise an interesting point. I just thought of it right now, and that is Vatican II opened. I think it was October of 1962.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking. Marty, in a couple of years, we're talking 50 years.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, we made a conscious decision here at the seminary a couple of years ago. Our rector, Father Dennis Lyle, had commented at a faculty meeting that he was very much aware that the 50th anniversary was approaching. And rather than wait to the 50th to do a celebration, he wanted to have a number of lead-up events. And so within our ongoing programs here at the seminary, we're taking the opportunity to kind of emphasize documents or some of the events with the council. So like this past year on our Meyer Lecture Series, we had Father Steve Avella from Marquette talking about Cardinal Meyer and his contributions to the council.
The thing is, it also, for anyone who has not been on the grounds of University of St. Mary the Lake Mundelein Seminary, they are gorgeous.
Yeah.
I mean, Marty, you and I as seminarians spent 4 years on those grounds, and every day I would walk, you know, around the lake or take a little walk into the woods during break time and just take in the beauty of God. And you've had the privilege of being on the faculty at Mundelein Seminary. How many years now?
21 years.
21 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the grounds are just gorgeous. So if for no other reason to learn on a terrific, important topic, the Bible and social justice, just to walk those grounds, and I've always said it's like a chunk of heaven.
Well, and the program is designed that the way the speakers are scheduled is they do their talk, they do a talk in the evening, so they do a cycle of three talks. So we'd start Sunday evening, the speaker would do his first talk, and then Monday morning do two, and then they're free in the afternoon to really enjoy the grounds, so, you know, to take a little time to reflect on what they listened to during those three talks. Maybe do a little reading or whatever. And I mean, we've had a very loyal core group of people who have attended the Summer Scripture for many years. I regularly run into people who say, well, this is my 26th year. This is my 30th year here.
And about how many people are expected? How many were in attendance last year?
I'm going to say around 55 is the number.
Yeah, it's hard to count because some people come for just a day. You don't have to stay for the whole week. So.
Yes. So there's different options of what you want to attend. So there's
someone can sign up for a particular day or 2 days and not the Sunday evening through Friday.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. And that's one of the things we've been trying to promote, particularly among some of the priests of the archdiocese, the permanent deacons, or, you know, pastoral associates, DREs, that I know many of those ministers need continuing education credits, and we offer that through this program. And so if they just want to say, oh, I really want to hear, you know, maybe this year, Father John Donahue, who's going to be talking about Amos and Isaiah and Jeremiah and the issue of
justice
out of the Old Testament. You know, they could do that. So we have a way of setting that up, and I kind of encourage people, come the night before, hear a good talk, hear good two talks in the morning, and then you're free. Enjoy, do what you want with the rest of the day.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio. 9:50 a.m. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, and our guests are Father Marty Zielinski, Vice President of Ongoing Formation at Mundelein Seminary, and also with us in studio, Megan Deichel, Associate Director, Ongoing Formation. If you have a question regarding the week seminar coming up, our phone number is 312-255-8408. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
In our next few issues of the Catholic New World, enjoy our Finding Grace series, The Seven Deadly Sins and Their Heavenly Virtues.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Better than ever, subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
May is the month of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and Cardinal George has some helpful suggestions for how we can express our devotion. And Pope Benedict declares the year of the priest and travels to countries of the Middle East. We'll talk to Cardinal George about these stories and more in this latest edition of The Church, the Cardinal, and You.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Time is 9:47 on this Friday morning in Chicago. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Any question you may have regarding the Summer Scripture Program at Mundelein Seminary, which begins on June 21st. And maybe during the break, Megan, I was asking you, who are some of the speakers that will be part of that week seminar at Mundelein Seminary?
Well, this year we have Father Felix Just, who's a noted scholar on Johannine literature and the Book of Revelation. He's an associate director for the Loyola Institute for Spirituality in Orange, California. And we also have Father John Donahue. His specialty is in the Synoptic Gospels, especially Mark and the parables, although he's doing Old Scripture or Old Testament.
He's gifted.
He's an author of many books, and he's a member of the Ecumenical Institute of Theology at St. Mary's Seminary and University in Baltimore, Maryland. And then we have from Canada, Dr. Margaret MacDonald. She's a noted Pauline and post-Pauline scholar, and she's from St. Francis Xavier University in Antigonish, I believe.
Nova Scotia.
Nova Scotia. So that's kind of our lineup. Plus we have three. We usually have one scholar from the seminary doing the last talks, but we have three of them. So Dr. Kate Wiskus will be doing one talk for us. Father Schoenstein and Father Michael Fuller from the seminary will all be doing one talk each to close the...
Is Father John Lodge one of the speakers?
Oh, yes. Father Lodge as well. I'm sorry. I missed Father Lodge.
He's one of our own for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
And he's also a noted Pauline scholar, too. And he's president of the Ecclesiastical Faculty at Mundelein and a member of the Scripture Department as well. So he's always pretty involved.
Now, Megan, if someone wanted to learn more about the upcoming seminar, a phone number and a web...
Okay. Website is very easy to remember. It's www.summerscripture.org.
Give that once again.
www.summerscripture.org. And then they can also call 847-837-4558.
That number once again.
847-837-4558.
And you mentioned to me off the air something regarding a CD program?
Right. We actually record all these talks, and we have since 2006. And we still have a few CDs. We don't have very many from 2006, but we still have CDs from 2007, 2008. We record them. We sell them for a very reasonable price, and they're wonderful. I've been listening to them. I haven't gotten through all of them as of yet, but I have felt pretty connected to the Summer Scripture Program just by listening to those CDs, and they're wonderful. They're wonderful listening.
And they can order them. And you know, Father Marty Zielinski, the Vice President of Ongoing Formation at Mundelein, and has helped organize this Summer Scripture Seminar for the last several years. Marty, let me ask you, what is, again, one of the biggest myths you'd like to let our listeners know regarding the Bible and social justice?
God.
I mean, if you get this among the seminarians, and I've had people say to me, you know, once in a while over 30 years of priesthood, you know, why do you priests talk about social justice? You know, stick to what hits the road every day in my life. I think of myself, talk about missing the point, because we have to be about social teaching, social justice, the Bible. So, you know, what do you tell someone who would look at the topic and say, the Bible and social justice, and say, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I think that it is true that a lot of times people might want to put an artificial division in there, but I'm not exactly sure which document which pope might have said it. The social justice is constitutive of the gospel. I mean, you only got to look at, say, the Beatitudes. That has been one of the favorite passages for many people to talk about, you know, that in the Beatitudes, Jesus is laying out sort of a new ethic for people. And so, you know, that would be one dramatic example, as well as, you know, if you read through any of the Old Testament, especially the prophets, you know, the talk about, you know, it's justice I desire, not sacrifice. You know, that's one of the consistent themes. I mean, we hear it during the Advent season. We hear it during the Lenten season.
Well, it's one thing interesting, you know, that you said, Marty, that when I was with you in the seminary as seminarians, my STB paper was on the prophet Amos.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he's the first prophet of social justice.
Yeah.
And just as you said, you know, it's love I desire, not sacrifice. And I think sometimes people forget that the Bible is rooted in social justice, in love, in mercy, in forgiveness, and that is the heart of it. So even the very topic, the Bible and social justice, that's really a profound topic, profound week discussion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is. And, you know, one of the things we mentioned, you asked about Father John Lodge. I mean, one of the particular reasons we asked him to be a speaker was this whole year we've been celebrating the year of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And I think John will be glad that it's coming to an end, because he's given so many talks in so many places.
I hear he's been on the road a lot.
Yeah, but it's good to, you know, to use this theme of Paul, because there are the whole sense of the Pauline ethics, you know, one of John's talks is going to be the justice that Paul's gospel enabled. So, you know, I think people could find some very rich information, resources for their own thinking, reflection, for their homilies. I mean, Greg, you know, we read from Paul's. I mean, how many
so
weeks out of the year? Almost practically every week.
Mm-hmm.
That's not exactly true, but
many.
Know, yeah, so many of the weeks. I mean, so, you know, here's an opportunity to get a better understanding of, you know, what Paul is using as themes in his letters. And, you know, so
and I think it's so
encourage people.
It's so important. I'm sure Megan would agree that we need to continually learn, reflect, study, dialogue, and pray.
Yeah.
That when someone gets to a point in their life and says to me, excuse me, I don't have any time to read, I know all there is to know, that individual is in
trouble.
they are in big trouble, because, you know, the more I study and the more I read, I find out how much I do not know.
Well, and I talked, you know, this past January, I was talking to the fourth-year class about ongoing formation, and I tell them bluntly, No seminary program is going to prepare any priest for 50 years of priesthood. It's right. Not like, you know, once you leave here, you don't need to learn anything else. I mean, that's simply an error to think that. So the individual initiative and responsibility is for this ongoing formation and looking for a variety of ways in which you can do some of that. Some of it may be the summer scripture program. Mm-hmm. Some of it may be, you know, somebody recommends a book to you. Somebody, it may be, you know, a talk that somebody's going to give someplace, or, you know, even CDs. I mean, I don't know how much time you spend driving, Greg. I would imagine a fair, but, you know, just, you know, if you have a good CD to listen to, mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes it's better than some of the talk radio things. I don't have anything against talk radio.
No, stay with relevant radio 950.
I know, and that's your format.
Lock it in and rip off the knob.
But, you know, especially if you have a little bit of a longer drive, you know, listening to a good CD is...
what I find interesting, Marty, and this with Megan, is when we talk about ongoing formation, mm-hmm. and there's always two words I like to use, the need for ongoing formation in our lives and ongoing information. And there's a difference.
Yeah.
You know, one thing to have information, but again, that ongoing formation. See, in many ways, we should not be called human beings. We should be called human becomings, because we're always becoming something more. And also, we all know when we go into a bookstore, you have all these sections on self-help.
Oh, absolutely.
In terms of how to gain weight, how to lose weight, how to operate a car, how to do this, how to do that. We have all these sections on mastery, become a master of this, become a master of this, do this, whatever. We sometimes have forgotten about mystery. So I have nothing wrong with mastery, but let's not lose the sense of mystery.
Yeah.
And in fact, Megan just wrote me a note here that it's a good one. Here's, we're not human doings, we're human beings.
Yeah.
I like it. We're not human doings. I like that one too. So that real need for the ongoing formation in our lives and the need to listen to those who are learned in certain areas, because no individual becomes professional in every topic. I mean, your area, Marty, well, you have that doctorate in history.
Oh, yeah.
And you've spent years in that area. And, again, how much you may not know regarding
Bulletin
history.
Oh, yeah. I'm always looking for some new book to read about some area. You know, it's just true. There's, you have to do that. And, I mean, you know, the bishops, when they came out with their basic document in the early part of this decade on ongoing formation, their thought was, people are moving from a formation program in the seminary, and Pope John Paul II said in Pastores Davo Vobis, to, in a sense, ongoing formation in the priesthood. And you got to look at your, you know, intellectual formation, your human formation, your spiritual formation, and kind of your pastoral formation. And, you know, if you just look at those four areas, I think that's a good guide. And it's not just for priests, but anybody who's involved in ministry in the church. Those are four clear areas where you can develop a very rich program of ongoing formation.
And we all know that for most people's lives, we are way too busy, way too busy. And the need to slow down, to make the time to pray, reflect, to learn about the Bible and social justice. Megan, one more time, a phone number and that webpage to learn more about the upcoming seminar at Mundelein Seminary.
Okay, the phone number is 847 area code 837-4558, and the website is www.summerscripture.org.
I want to thank in a very special way Father Marty Zielinski, the Vice President of Ongoing Formation at Mundelein Seminary, who has helped organize this Summer Scripture Seminar for the last several years, and thank you to studio guest Megan Deichel, Associate Director, Ongoing Formation at Mundelein Seminary. To Megan and to Father Marty Zielinski, thank you for joining us. And
thank you.
We'll keep the seminar in prayer. Special thanks also to our producer, Jim Dish, our engineer, Michael May, for their great work. To our listeners, God bless and have a wonderful weekend.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.